Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1925, with a release date of July 4th, 2014, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The ARRL works with Congress to get the Amateur Radio Parity Act of 2014 introduced to the House of Representatives. Hams in Italy get another chance to use the 4-meter band. WRTC 2014 competition takes place on July 12th and 13th. Coconino County, Arizona revises its controversial distracted driving law to exempt hams. Congress weighs in on net neutrality. And after 70 years, Morse code returns to a secret World War II Australian base. Find out the details on Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1925, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here is Jim Dameron, NATMW.
The ARRL reports that a bill with bipartisan support has been introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives. One that calls on the FCC to apply the reasonable accommodation three-part test of the PRB1 federal preemption policy to private land use restrictions. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, reports.
The American Radio Parity Act of 2014, also known as H.R. 4969, was introduced on June 25th at the request of the American Radio Relay League, which worked with House of Representatives staffers to draft the proposed legislation. The bill's sponsor is Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, and it has initial co-sponsorship from Representative Joe Courtney of Connecticut. If the measure is approved by the 113th Congress, it would require the FCC within 120 days of the bill's passage to amend the Part 97 amateur service rules to apply PRB1 coverage to include homeowners association regulations and deed restrictions. These are often referred to as covenants, conditions, and restrictions, and presently PRB1 only applies to state and local zoning laws and ordinances. H.R. 4969 has been referred to the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Representative Greg Walden, W7EQI of Oregon, chairs that panel's Communication and Technology Subcommittee, which will consider the measure. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
ARRL Hudson Division Director Mike Lysenko, N2YBB, is a principal advocate for the current legislative initiative to gain PRB1 recognition for CCNRs. Lysenko said that the most urgent task now is to get additional co-sponsors to sign on to H.R. 4969. Radio amateurs in Italy have again been granted temporary access to the ITU Region 1 70 MHz or 4-meter band. At least until December 19th, all Italian stations are authorized to use this band, except within 30 kilometers of the borders with Austria, Switzerland, and France. Specific frequencies being permitted are 70.1, 70.2, and 70.3 megahertz, with a maximum bandwidth of 25 kilohertz. All modes may be used as long as they do not exceed 50 watts of effective radiated power. The World Radio Sport Team Championship 2014 operating event will take place on Saturday, July 12th, beginning at 1200 UTC and concluding Sunday the 13th at 1200 UTC. WRTC 2014 pits 59 two-operator amateur radio teams representing 32 countries in a battle of operating skill and strategy from identical locations and using identical antenna systems. Competing teams were selected from 29 qualifying regions around the world based on scores in a series of 55 qualifying events over a three-year period. The team with the best score during the 24-hour operating competition will claim the gold medal and earn the distinction of being the best in the world. Live video streaming of some of the social events surrounding WRTC 2014 will begin on Wednesday, July 9th. These include the welcoming barbecue dinner, the opening ceremony, as well as the closing ceremony. The World Radio Sport Team Championship is held every 4 years. This year's venue is in and around the city of Westboro, Massachusetts. Previous events have been held in Seattle, San Francisco, Slovenia, Finland, Brazil, and most recently in Russia. More about this year's happening is on the web at www.wrtc2014.org. The Irish Radio Transmitters Society's Brendan Trophy for the first two-way transatlantic amateur communication on 2 meters has gone unclaimed for years, but that could change within the coming days. This with the announcement of a highly determined attempt that is about to get underway by the Brendan Quest team operating from Pouch Cove, Newfoundland. Using 750 watts of power to a 98-foot 43-element Yagi at some 25 feet above average terrain, the VC1T team hopes to achieve transatlantic communication first on 2 meters, which remains one of the few remaining VHF amateur radio distance records. The two stations involved must be located on land or non-tidal waterways within the continental shelves of Europe and North America. The limit of the continental shelf of Europe is considered to lie along the line of maximum depth between the European landmass and Iceland. That of North America is defined to lie along the line of maximum depth between Canada and Greenland. A detailed operating schedule has now been released along with the procedure and a description of the modes that will be used. Modes include CW, SSB, and WSJT, the latter being for digital attempts. All the needed information, including a full description of the monster antenna being used, can be found online at brendanquest.org. NASA is inviting people around the world to submit their names to be etched on a microchip aboard a spacecraft headed to the asteroid Bennu in 2016. Amateur Radio Newsline's Stephen Kinford, N8WB, is here to tell you how.
The messages to Bennu microchip will travel to the asteroid aboard the Origin Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification Security Regolith Explorer spacecraft. The robotic mission will spend more than 2 years at the asteroid, which has a width of approximately 1,760 feet. While there, it will collect samples of Bennu's surface and return it to Earth in a special capsule. The deadline to submit names online is this coming September 30th. Those who take part in the Messages to Bennu campaign will be able to print a certificate of appreciation to document their involvement. To submit your name, or maybe your name and call sign following your last name, simply visit planetary.org/Bennu, B-E-N-N-U, on the World Wide Web, and fill out the very simple form. Figuring out how and where to add your ham radio call sign should be quite easy. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB reporting.
If you want to get regular updates on the mission, you can do so by simply following it on Facebook or at the URL you will find in this week's printed Amateur Radio Newsline report. NDX JA1XGI has announced his next operation will be from Niu between December 1st and the 6th, and his expected issued call sign will be E6XG. Activity will be on 160 through 10 meters, looking for Europe and North America, especially on the lower bands. Modes mentioned are CW, SSB, and some digital. QSL via his home call sign, either direct or by the Bureau. An online QSL request service, or OQRS, will be available on Club Log. Members of the Italian de-expedition team have announced their next operation will be from Benin. According to an announcement on the group's website, on the plus side, they've already been assigned the call TY1AA. However, owing to working commitments of some members of the team, at the moment they are not able to announce an exact date for the de-expedition. Therefore, the actual date could vary somewhat with respect to the already announced date of November 20th through the 30th. Once on the air, activity will be on 160 through 6 meters using CW, SSB, and RIDI. QSLs will go via I2YSB, either direct or via the Bureau. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Cavernon Amateur Radio Association's Club Net, serving the city of Bordeaux, France. A big win for amateur radio and other two-way radio services in Coconino County, Arizona. This, as the County Board of Supervisors reverses itself on a number of key elements in what had become one of the nation's most controversial distracted driving laws. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak is in the newsroom with the details.
On June 26th, the Coconino County, Arizona Board of Supervisors approved changes to the ordinance regulating the use of communications devices while driving. Before the changes were approved, anyone caught with a handheld push-to-talk microphone while the vehicle was in motion and they were behind the steering wheel was subject to be issued a citation. Among the several new exemptions is one that applies to those who hold a valid amateur radio operator's license or any license issued by the Federal Communications Commission or a driver who uses two-way radio, such as CB. Matt Ryan is the Coconino Board Chairman. He stated that the board and other county officials remain dedicated to enhancing public safety by reducing injuries and fatal crashes on the roadways. However, it was brought to their attention that the originally approved ordinance created hardships for specific segments of drivers, such as truckers, amateur radio operators, and bus drivers. Ryan added that while the overall goal is to curb distracted driving, that the board still feels the ordinance, as revised, does exactly that. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. I'm in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
For the purpose of informing and educating the public and motorists, the ordinance allows for law enforcement officers to issue verbal warnings to persons found violating the terms of the revised ordinance through November 22nd. Law enforcement officers will then have discretion on whether or not to issue a citation. After being on hold for more than 9 years, the FCC has dismissed the license renewal application of Glenn Baxter, K1MAN of Belgrade Lake, Maine. This because he failed to pay a long-standing $10,000 fine issued against him by the regulatory agency. In its letter notifying Baxter of this action, the FCC stated that his application could not be processed because it was red-lighted by the FCC's universal licensing system. It went on to note that the red light rule was adopted as part of the FCC's ongoing effort to implement the Debt Collection Improvement Act. This law provides that the commission check whether entities or individuals seeking licenses or other benefits from the FCC are delinquent in debt owed to the commission. The FCC added that anyone filing an application or seeking a benefit that is found to be delinquent in debt owed to the FCC and who fails to pay the debt in full or make other satisfactory arrangements in a timely manner will have their application dismissed. Because Baxter had failed to resolve this matter according to those rules, his application was indeed being dismissed. The concept of net neutrality appears to be hitting home with the nation's lawmakers, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Hal Rogers, K8CMD.
Congress is weighing in on the issue of net neutrality. On June 17th, Senator Patrick Leahy and Representative Doris Matsu introduced the Online Competition and Consumer Choice Act. If passed into law, the measure would grant the Federal Communications Commission the authority to bar paid prioritization agreements between Internet service providers and content providers over the last mile of the broadband connection. As written, broadband provider would not be allowed to speed up one service at the expense of any other, nor would providers be permitted to charge extra fees to particular content providers. Internet service providers would also be barred from prioritizing their own service or devices over competitors. The legislative maneuver appears designed to try to supersede the FCC's current regulatory efforts to seek public comment on a proposal to bar Internet actions that it might deem to be commercially unreasonable violations of the principle of network neutrality. The Online Competition and Consumer Choice Act has already garnered support from net neutrality advocates. I'm Hal Rogers, K8CMD.
How far this measure will get in Congress will depend on the amount of cooperation that can be generated between Republicans and Democrats over this issue. Net neutrality is an important issue in the ham radio community because more and more aspects of the hobby, such as station remote control and satellite tracking, rely on unencumbered high-speed internet connectivity. The Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club will once again be operating special event station W9ZL from July 30th through August the 3rd. This in celebration of Air Venture 2014, hosted by the Experimental Aviation Association in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. The Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club has been sponsoring this special event for 21 years. Plans for 2014 are to have W9ZL operate from the Experimental Aviation Association Fairgrounds during the fly-in using SSB on 7.250, 14.250, and 50.150 megahertz. A special commemorative certificate will be available for those who make contact. Just QSL with a self-addressed stamped envelope direct to the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club Air Venture 2014. P.O. Box 2346, Appleton, Wisconsin 54912. More about Air Venture 2014 can be found at www.eaa.org. While information about the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club is at www.fcarc.us. Some names in the news. First up this week, ARRL VEC Coordinator Examiner Truett Smith, N4TK. Butch Smith, as he is better known in ham radio circles, has been awarded a Certificate of Appreciation from the Governor of Tennessee on behalf of the Nashville VE team. N4TK is one of the founding members of the group, which has been continuously offering amateur radio exams since 1986. Smith not only maintains the VE team website, but also delivers the official opening remarks at test sessions. Professionally, N4TK is a well-known broadcast industry consultant who operates Media Broadcast Integration and Technical Services Incorporated in Nashville. He was also a contributor to several ARRL-produced promotional and educational videos made in the late 1980s. Radio Amateurs of Canada has announced the recent appointment of Neil Sunderland, VE6NL, as Section Emergency Coordinator for Alberta, Northwest Territories, and Nunavut. Sunderland has been involved in many areas of radio, both professionally and privately, for more than 40 years. He became a licensed radio amateur 5 years ago and has been active in areas in the Calgary region. VE6NL is trained in and has worked professionally in search and rescue, emergency medicine, and other fields. Australian space explorer Andy Thomas has retired to his Texas ranch after 22 years with NASA and 4 months living in zero gravity on the Mir space station. Recently, Dr. Thomas, who holds the call VK5MIR, has been leading design teams whose projects included a return visit to the moon and a first visit to Mars. His 40-acre ranch property in central Texas is where he plans to live with his astronaut wife, Shannon Walker. At this time, she is still in the NASA program and hoping for at least one more flight. We might add that QSLs to Dr. Thomas might be a bit difficult to deliver, as the various online call sign databases list his QTH as the Mir space station, which deorbited and essentially burned up in the Earth's atmosphere on March 21st of 2001. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. Researchers now say that the monarch butterfly uses a magnetic compass to guide its extraordinary migration thousands of miles across North America. Monarchs are believed to possess a form of sun compass, but even on cloudy days, they still keep flying south towards Mexico. To test for the theory that they also possessed a form of magnetic compass, scientists strapped butterflies into a flight simulator, allowing them to point in any direction while flying. They then surrounded the chamber with a magnetic coil and then varied the inclination angle of the field while at the same time exposing them to ultraviolet light. This, in essence, effectively changed the position of the equator and the poles. The monarchs responded by turning in the direction they perceived as south. More about this research can be found at tinyurl.com/ monarch-butterfly-experiment. According to a new study, quantum particles have been found capable of tunneling through multiple long-range barriers. This is a phenomenon that is known as quantum tunnel effect. Formerly, this procedure was for one particle to pass through one barrier. However, the latest study was conducted by a team of researchers at the Institute for Experimental Physics in Austria, showed the tunneling of quantum particles through five consecutive barriers simultaneously is possible with the help of an effect known as Bose enhancement. Bose enhancement is a phenomenon that affects in high-energy heavy ion collisions. How the study was performed and its findings to date were published in a recent issue of the journal Science. More is on the web at tinyurl.com/quantum-particle-barrier. Turning to news from around the world, word that a United Kingdom CB radio enthusiast was likely moments away from being electrocuted when a lightning bolt hit his antenna and blew up his station equipment. According to the news account, Robin Tester had just used his radio to warn a friend of an impending storm. He then turned off his gear, and within moments, the lightning bolt struck the antenna located in his garden only some 6 feet from his home. According to Tester, the lightning strike destroyed his radio, the microphone, and parts of the antenna. He noted he did have a good lightning arrestor connected between the radio and the antenna, but that was destroyed as well. Tester said the only saving grace was the fact the antenna lead travels underground, so it was able to ground out some of the strike. Tester added that without that, it would have been worse. Jim Linton, VK3PC, reports from Down Under that registrations of marine beacons in the upcoming International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend continue to grow. As we go to air, Jim says that the total stands at over 300 from 36 countries. International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend is an annual event that aims to raise public awareness of the need to preserve and restore old structures used to navigate ships. At the same time, it's a great way to promote amateur radio portable operations. This year's event, slated to take place weekend of August 16th and the 17th, to learn the simple guidelines or register the location you plan to activate, take your web browser to illw.net. The Japan Amateur Radio League has announced the election of a new president and two vice presidents. According to Kim Yamamoto, JA1CJP, the new president of JARL is Toshihiko Yamanuchi, JA7AYW, with Kamio Maikawa, JA9BOH, and Yoshinori Takeo, JG1KTC, taking on the role of vice president. The post of executive director and IARU liaison was filled by Hiroyoshi Tamana, JA1SLS. The election took place at the Japan Amateur Radio League's annual assembly held on June 15th. NDX, DL2DXA, and DJ5AA are reported to be on the air as 5P2X from the island of Vindicel. No bands, modes, or operating schedule has been mentioned. QSL via DL2DXA. AG6OU should once again be active as XW6OU from Vientiane, Laos. His operation should be on 20 meters, mainly SSB. The exact length of his stay is not known, but if you make contact QSL via E21EIC direct or electronically using EQSL. PD7YY will be operational stroke OZ from Langland Island between July 19th through the 25th. This will be a holiday style on the high-frequency bands. No modes were mentioned. QSL via PD7YY direct or via the Bureau. No electronic QSLs will be available for his operation. Members of the Union de Radio Aficionados de Tenerife will be active as EA8URT from the Canary Islands during the RSGB Islands on the Air contest July 27th and 28th. QSL direct as instructed on QRZ.com or via the Bureau. ON6DSL will be operational stroke SB9 from Crete from August 1st through the 10th. His mode of operation will be SSB using QRP at 5 watts into a home-built antenna. QSL via his home call sign to the UBA Bureau. And finally this week, 7 News Australia reports that a secret World War II base in northern Victoria State has resumed Morse code radio communication with the world after more than 70 years. Graham Kemp, VK4BB of the WIA News, has the details.
The restored flying boat museum at Lake Boga near Swan Hill in northwest Victoria was the home of the number one flying boat repair depot during World War II. Hidden from aerial view with bomb-proof walls is a communications bunker. It's been restored and put on air by Thomas, Victor Kilo 3 Echo Oscar, complete with wartime receivers and smaller transmitters. Dropping in at the time of the recent TV news interview was Gene Willocks, a wartime radio operator who tried the key for the first time since the war.
For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB, from WIA News Australia.
Thomas Brownstein, VK3EO, also teaches youngsters about Morse code and what went on in secrecy during World War II. He described the whole experience as being a little like magic. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2014, all rights reserved.